Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. For more information about the news and links we talk about on the show, go to our website at www.geeksone.com.
It's on.
Peter, Mortal Kombat.
Aaron. Matt.
Don your blade. No, wait.
I don't want to be Danya. Why do I have to be Danya?
Danya Blade.
That sucks. I can't even do a headstand leg throw.
Welcome, everybody.
Hello, my geeklings.
To Geeks On.
Welcome back to another episode.
What was the name of the Asian guy?
I know it's only been a week, but Liu Kang?
Liu Kang.
I know it's only been a week, but it feels like longer for some reason.
Yes.
I don't know why that is.
It's been a week and a day. 8 days.
Oh, there you go.
See, there you go. Hi, my name is Aaron Hendricks, and I'm a graphic designer and filmmaker in Los Angeles, and I'm a geek.
Hi, Aaron.
Hello.
Oh, is that me?
Yeah. Hi. Yes. That's why we're pointing at you.
Well, he was pointing. You guys are just staring blankly. It's like watching ultraviolet with both of you.
I was pointing with my eyes.
You do a lot.
All right.
Anyway, hi, my name is Don. I am a writer and a video game professional here in Los Angeles, and I, too, am a geek.
Hi, Don.
Hello, Don.
I'm Matt King. I'm an actor here in Los Angeles, and I, too, am a geek.
Hello. Hi, Matt.
And I am Peter Robinson, and I am a screenwriter here in Los Angeles, and I am a geek.
Hi, Peter.
And that was the last sentence he gets to say on the show without being interrupted.
Yes.
Hi, so my
name
is
Peter.
Done now.
Come on.
How was everybody's geek week?
I watched Alien versus Predator.
Why?
You've
never seen that?
No.
Because you guys suffered over it so badly. And
I did awful.
Did you like it better? I hope you liked it better than we did.
I kind of had fun.
Well, good. No, good. That's a good thing.
Would you like drop acid before you watched it?
No, just I didn't pay that much money for it. And I think when you don't pay much money for it, it's kind of...
You know what? You paid in your soul and in your time and...
My soul?
I mean...
No.
Your life energy drained.
Yeah, I just rented Master and Commander, and it was free from Netflix. Free, whatever.
I like Master and Commander.
Oh, my God. 4 hours of my life I will never have back.
It's a different type of...
It felt like it.
Oh.
Psychological type of movie, but... Yeah.
Oh,
I'm waiting for them to make the Master and Commander series cool, but anyway.
Explain to me how Bishop suddenly is the owner of the company.
Yeah, that seemed weird because then, like, why is Ripley... amazed when...
No, he wasn't suddenly the owner. He was the owner way back when.
But
and
the
then
thing
they
is,
decided to make a robot based off of the owner.
Looks just like
they
him.
Never said that there wasn't always a line of robots that look like him. Like,
yeah, but Ripley's just dumbass then.
No,
and
no,
she just
possibly.
There's a Bishop line. I mean, yeah, well,
Think how expensive these robots must be. They probably aren't standard issue.
Yeah, well, that didn't derail me because I was busy watching Alien versus Predator.
Does anybody else smell the stink of bullshit in this room? Okay, somebody's really pushing real hard, okay?
I'll admit that.
Push it real good.
What about the rest of y'all?
Oh, well, I got something.
Ooh.
I went away to Vegas this weekend.
That's
for
not
my
geeky.
So you've got gonorrhea.
Did you go to the Star Trek Hilton?
Time out.
I did.
Time out here. Time out there. Time out.
Okay.
Time out, everybody. Time out.
But
okay, here we go.
I haven't interrupted you yet.
Here we go.
But
I went to a wedding this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
This wedding is very interesting because my friends Teen and Jake got married because of a reality TV show that they were on. It's called Do or Die, and basically the whole concept of this thing is that they come to them with some dice, and they have to decide major life decisions based on the dice. So Teen wanted to get married. Jake didn't want to get married. They agreed to go on the show. While they were on the show, they pulled off on the side of the road, and they rolled the dice to decide if they were going to get engaged or something like this.
Your friends are idiots.
They got engaged based on the fact that the dice rolled up. They got married like 3 weeks later. And I have to say something. Got to say something. I know this sounds awful. They had a great wedding, and they were really happy.
Well, that's because all weddings are pretty much that way. It's months and years after the wedding.
I've never been to an unhappy wedding.
Yeah, I mean, Yes.
No, I've seen one. A friend of mine had a really unhappy wedding, and yeah.
What
happened? Yeah, it was bad. But that, bad.
That's like the party is fun, but the 20 years of aftermath of the party sucks because of the die roll or the legal and, you know, costs and splitting up your record collection is somehow worth it.
Let me also just add into this that they, you know, he actually wants to spend his life with her. He just doesn't believe in marriage. He thinks it means...
Well, now he does.
Well, now he does.
But, he's but like, he believes in die rolling your life away.
Well, you know, look, this, you have to understand my friend. She's like that. You know, she's been
does
on...
Does she listen to the show?
No.
Well, you should have her listen to the show because I'm about ready to speak right to her right now. You're listening right now. Let me just tell you what just happened.
No, she's completely like that. She goes... She loves... you know, she goes on... she goes on game shows, things like that. You know, she's done that before. Mm. So she's into that.
All right. Would you like to talk to her right now, Aaron?
Yes. Here's a new die roll.
Teen.
Whether you should have an affair on your husband or not. 50-50. Might as well roll the die on this one, too. Come on over.
Wow.
Should you do 50-50 male or female?
Well, okay. Let me actually say that the concept of this show is this, okay? The concept of the show is that sometimes in your life, you have these situations that you get into where it seems like the pro and con of a situation seem to be kind of weighted evenly on both sides, and you get stuck. And sometimes you just need something to get you unstuck so you can get moving in your life, get some momentum again. Okay.
But that's not what happened here. The guy doesn't believe in marriage. The girl pressured him to the point where he said, ah, hell, I'll just roll the dice to get her off my back.
I got to tell you, he seemed really happy.
All right, well, that's good.
He seemed completely happy. So what we'll do is we'll revisit this issue.
In 3 years.
No.
In 2D, 6 years.
Save versus annulment.
Most marriages end within a year. We'll come back in a year.
Right. Okay.
All right.
Do I get a wild die on that one?
So, Doc, you had something about your geek week.
I had a extremely geeky week. In a desperate attempt to quit WoW, I went out and I purchased Dungeons & Dragons Online.
How is it?
That's not quitting WoW.
No,
that's
it is.
Slapping another
No,
WoW.
No, it is. It totally is. And this is why – this was my reason.
You picked up heroin to drop crack.
Yes. That's exactly it. It was an online game that friends of mine were playing that didn't look that interesting to me.
Okay.
Right? So I could just play it for, you know, hours a week and be done.
You lie.
You know? Oh, no. Unfortunately, don't lie at all.
Really?
Boring. Boring.
Really?
I was so bored playing this game. The design is beautiful. The concepts of the city, like the city is a magical city.
It looks good?
The city itself looks good.
That's cool.
Like it's clearly a city in a high magic world where magic is all over the place.
Super Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah. Like, so they have all these things like the docks, right? They're all docks. It's normal docks. But as you're walking around, you realize there are all these docks above you. And the reason why they can be suspended above there is because the support platforms have these magical force fields that just hold them up. Mm-hmm. Right, so it's like they have the beams. It's all normal engineering, but rather than the beams coming down to ground level and having to be embedded below sea level, they just have magical cups holding them.
Right,
you know? And it's very nice. It's very pretty. It's very a lot of it's logical. The problem is coming out of WoW. One, design wise, the color scheme is drab. Everything's earth tones. Everything looks basically the same.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, that can be a debate.
Character generation system is better. Whatever, but here's the clincher. I played my character for about, 8 hours total over the past 8 days.
Mm-hmm.
And after, 8 hours, 10 hours of playing, I reached second level.
You're kidding me.
Yeah. The current level cap in the game is 10. So there isn't that much variation in your characters.
But wait a minute. Is the game about leveling or is it about something else? I mean, you could just be stuck on the whole I got a level hang up. I mean, have you not found what the game is about? Obviously, it's not about leveling.
I found items, but the items weren't that exciting.
There was no storyline or
there's no significant storyline. You run around in a city where you shop and you meet people and you form parties. And then you run up to people like, oh, these kobolds took my knapsack and ran down the sewer right next to me. Would you mind going into the sewer and getting back my knapsack?
Okay, this isn't that different from WoW, though, when they do that.
Seriously.
No, it's not.
They're all the same.
But the difference is, in WoW, you can step outside the city and look around at a world, right?
Oh, this is all entirely in the city?
That's what I'm saying. You have this city, and then you have a guy with a knapsack that says go into the sewers here, and then you go into the sewers and it's an instance.
I'm okay.
The adventuring is instances.
Yeah. But see, this is the perfect opportunity to if you're going to have the instances, it's the perfect opportunity to have these little miniature, you know, role-playing stories that you couldn't have in WoW because you had to constantly reset and this and that. But they don't take advantage of any
there's
of that.
I never found a story of any
see,
real
the thing would be interesting is if the instances were triggers, like it was like the Choose Your Own Adventure book. If you went and decided to save the guy's knapsack, you get to do this instance. If you get to, you know, screw it and steal his knapsack, you get to do this instance.
Yeah.
And basically that progresses your life path.
Like Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah.
Massively multiplayer.
But this one didn't do it. And so far, just hasn't caught my interest. I think I'm going to have to throw it back into the nether.
Yeah. I quit WoW.
Good for you.
Quit it cold. I'm cold turkey.
Done WoW for you.
We'll see.
It only took a year and a half, 2 years.
Shut up.
See, I had quit WoW. I jumped back in just to play with some friends recently, and they all were running an instance. I joined them on the instance and got these two pieces of armor that I've been hoping for forever, as long as I've been playing. So they kind of sucked me back in, you bastards! But
so you installed it again?
I never uninstalled it. I was just trying out this other thing.
I'm the one that uninstalled it
congratulations.
A month or two ago, which is why I suddenly have a life again.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Should we do news?
We should do news.
Let's do it.
Testing. News, one, two.
So my news story is about how Aaron just effed up and that we had to go through about 20 minutes of news before we realized that, maybe 10 minutes.
News, take two.
Yes. So your geek license has been
revoked. So all this news is old news.
All this news is old news.
So we're done.
Okay. All right.
Sorry,
go ahead and start.
Let's just recycle last week's news.
You sure we're recording?
What happened? We're recording.
Okay.
It looks really slow.
Oh, it's just because it's zoomed in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is the most exciting news ever.
Woohoo!
All right, Aaron. Take it in.
Oh, I'm now doing the other news? Yeah. Okay, well... Strangely, you guys may have not heard of this until 5 minutes ago.
Tell us.
But there is a rumor.
No.
You're doing a rumor story?
A rumor story? There is a rumor.
I'm shocked.
No.
On the internet, in the sci-fi world, that the Battlestar Galactica television series, now on Sci-Fi Channel, will be moving to NBC.
NBC?
No!
So what does this mean for our poor science fiction show? I see nothing good to become of this.
Our intrepid followers.
Well, now, you were saying at one point that they tried this out on NBC already, and it got abysmal ratings.
I'm not absolutely sure about the ratings. All I know is they aired like 4 episodes already. Uh-huh. I'm not sure exactly what time slot and when, and that was enough for them.
Well, I mean, okay.
And they
They pulled it.
Okay.
One thing I got to say is I do know a fair number of people across the United States who do not have the Sci-Fi Channel available to them.
Right.
That is true.
Okay.
I mean, so I understand if you get it onto NBC, there is going to be a small core of geek listeners in rural areas that will want to see the show.
I understand that. But that's what BitTorrent is for.
That said, I also remember when Battlestar Galactica first started playing, we spent 3 months trying to get you to watch one episode because you couldn't get past the damn ships.
Part of that is because of the track record of the Sci-Fi Channel. But here's the thing is, you know, Sci-Fi Channel doesn't need the numbers that NBC apparently needs. They don't really need it, but it's apparently needs. They get overreactive and they get really uptight about every time slot. And so will this affect their writing? Will they get pressure from the studio?
Yeah. Yes.
Will they get these quote experts that, you know, these guys always think they know better than the artists. They always think they know better. They kill these shows off faster than anybody, some of these guys. And
this is what the people want, really.
We're not going to get Moffitt back.
Yeah.
They're not going to get any more money. The special effects aren't going to get any better. Here's the one good thing that I could possibly think of is it will have a high def feed.
That's
NBC.
Stupid.
NBC is on high def.
That's not enough.
So what?
Well,
I'm not.
Yeah, but if I had
I'm a
high,
geek.
When I could buy my hi-fi television,
but in
I'd
6
like
years
it.
You will be.
So what you're telling us, Aaron?
6 years.
Yeah, if the show lasts that long.
So what you're telling
us
is that
we have to replace our TVs eventually.
We'll be able to watch a much crisper, watered down version of Battlestar.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I can watch it suck and really be aware of the detail.
If they don't touch it and it survives, then we all get a high-def version of Battlestar Galactica. Right, yeah. If they end up touching it, or if they just outright kill it and don't want to put it back on the Sci-Fi Channel,
which they won't,
it just will be gone forever.
Yeah,
right.
To me, this is watering down the Sci-Fi Channel. Finally, Sci-Fi Channel has something to have something good. Yeah, something good. Their advertisers know it. That gets them more money, allows them to put even better shows on television. They should take their cues from the FX channel, which is now moving up in the world. They're making good money. The advertisers are happy. They don't have this redheaded stepchild television station called the Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah, true.
Give them a break. Give them some more good shows. Let them parlay this money and fame into another great series.
Yeah.
Then you don't need NBC. You'll be making good money on both.
Personally, I say they should be giving, like, what was the one they just canceled? Night Stalker? Kochak Night Stalker?
What, on Sci-Fi?
No, on it was NBC or ABC or
CBS. Did you just call a show Kochak Night Stalker?
Kolchak?
Wasn't Night Stalker, like, from the 70s?
Yeah, they remade the series.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they remade the series on one of the major networks. I'm not sure which one.
Huh,
Kolchak.
That starred Stuart Townsend? Maybe not Stuart Townsend. The one from Queen of the Damned. And League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
I think that's Stuart.
Is it Stuart Townsend? Whatever. I mean, the guy's a no-talent hack. But, that said, he looked right for the role, sort of.
He was Aragorn.
I know. Stuart Townsend was Aragorn. If you're interested in this story, write us. We'll tell you. But here's my point. They canceled it after three episodes, right? Because it was badly written.
Right.
It was honestly just bad writing.
Right. It's a bad show.
Yeah, but it was partially probably because it was on network TV and they had to consistently water down everything they talked about.
They cannot have lawsuits. They get so scared of lawsuits. Yeah.
But there's there are some
my thinking was take it and shove it over to the Sci-Fi Channel and say do whatever the hell you want with it. Change it. Do whatever you want.
I don't know. I may be wrong. I thought they tried that with Good and Evil.
Good versus Evil?
Good versus Evil, was that it?
Good versus Evil, they did. It was USA Network.
Ah, okay.
And so then I think Sci-Fi Channel picked up the reruns after it had been canceled.
Right.
Just bad. Not a good idea. No.
Well, anyway, that's my news. Rumor. So
before we move on, it's got to be mentioned. Battlestar Galactica season finale, right?
Yep.
Has everyone
crazy,
seen it?
Crazy. Yeah, I saw it. No.
All right, so Matt Clisier isn't home.
Oh, wait, and these are, I guess we are going to now talk about spoilers for the next.
Yeah, we're not going to do any spoilers. It's okay. We're not going to do any spoilers, but just gut reaction. Yes, no, good, bad.
They're changing it up. I hope that just means that they're, rocking the boat. But, I feel like they are going to need to get back into the formula that we like. Next season, which I think they will, but at least it kind of changed it up and shook the series a little bit. I thought it was pretty good.
I liked it a lot. I thought it was great. Excellent. I thought it was fantastic. I was, don't get your hopes all up if you haven't seen it. Don't have your expectations.
It's not earth shaking. It is earth shaking. Don't get me wrong,
I just thought it was a lot of fun.
I didn't have the same kind of visceral reaction as the season one finale of you're kidding me. You're going to make me wait after that?
Yeah, right.
With this one, I just can't wait for October,
I think it was just... I thought the editing was a little funky, and I think that's part of the reasons why you had that reaction, because I think all the elements were there to have a... Like, you can't believe me hanging here?
Yeah.
I think that all the elements were there. I just felt like it was put together a little... strangely.
Okay. And, pushed it.
That's possibly true.
They got so much pressure on them right now. They need a breath.
Well, the rest of the world does it in series. I think they just need to go back down to 13 episodes a season.
Right.
Quite frankly.
I would agree with that.
Peter, hit it.
Okay, I have an update on one of our...
It's an update now,
yes,
is it?
It's an update.
It's an update to an older news story.
Yes. It wasn't an update when he originally came out with it.
Yeah, originally, they're razzing me because originally I forgot that we had covered this before. But the update is about the Dark Crystal 2 movie, which we have heard about.
Mm-hmm.
And
opening night?
I don't know.
We now know what the story is going to be about.
Excellent.
The film is set to continue many years later, after the original, where the Gelflings Jen and Kira are now king and queen.
That's cool.
The two heroes of the original movie once again have to save the kingdom when the mythical crystal splits once more.
See, now the thing will be, how do they split the crystal?
That's damn crystal. What's the problem with this thing?
It's like they have it on a really high shelf. Yeah, and
duct
they have a
tape
cat.
The first time, you know.
But the thing is, the Jim Henson Company seems to be investing heavily in the sequel as an animated series as well, and as other interactive forms of media are also
being
developed.
I want to see the animated series.
I just hope it's not animated.
I'm curious how the Jim Henson Company is doing right now, because
they're doing really well.
I know they're doing really well as far as putting out other people's movies and supporting other people's stuff.
Except I think Mirror Mask did crappy.
But yeah, Mirror Mask just, it died. It died in art house theaters, never even made it mainstream.
Mm. Yeah, I don't think they're expecting it to be more than that, though.
I don't know.
There's no way you really
saw
that movie.
I haven't seen it yet.
Well, so. We could check and see what the budget was.
Yeah.
But I can't remember the last Jim Henson solo effort. Like Farscape they did, and I know Farscape was canceled halfway through the seasons.
Yep.
It couldn't have been making that much for them. You know,
Four Seasons is pretty good.
Four Seasons was damn good. And then it warranted enough fan support that it brought up the miniseries.
Right. But fan support is good. But fan support, it wasn't enough to make the money. Right,
yeah, it doesn't pay the bills.
It's too bad they didn't make the fifth season. That's when they get syndication.
Yep.
Yeah, look at freaking Firefly, you know.
Well, they have syndication. Farscape was on for years afterwards.
Fifth season, 100 episodes.
They got to get 100 episodes basically before they make big money.
Yep.
You know, there's some magic, you know, 100 is a magic number.
Sci-fi has been rerunning them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
But they can only rerun them for so long.
Yeah, true.
True.
Yeah.
So, all right.
But I ran out and checked Mirror Mask, and it was made for $4 million. It's made $875,000.
Ooh.
So, for those who don't understand how the industry works, when a movie's made, you know, whatever the budget of the movie is... You typically have to make back twice that before you're actually making profit.
Yeah,
so,
according to these guys.
Well, typically, yeah.
But
according
typically.
To that. But so if it's only made $865,000 backed in the U.S. It hasn't been released elsewhere yet.
Is that profit or just take?
Oh, that's just all it's made.
But also remember, Mirror Mask didn't go through the... Like, it doesn't have to make as much money because the marketing wasn't out there.
Marketing
wasn't. They didn't spend any money on marketing.
For those of you who are not familiar with Mirror Mask, just to bring it up real quick and summarize, Mirror Mask was written by Neil Gaiman, mm-hmm. who was made famous by Sandman, and was put out as a sole effort by Jim Henson's workshop, as far as I know. So, I mean, I got really excited when I found out Neil Gaiman was working with Jim Henson Workshop.
And it's awesome looking.
Have you seen it?
I have it. It's sitting on my coffee table at home. I haven't seen it yet.
No, Netflix or something?
Yeah, Netflix.
Oh. Ooh, I must do it. Yeah, me too.
All right, who's next?
Me.
On the...
An erection has kept a burglar out of jail. Strangely, you've never heard this before. A German burglar has escaped a prison sentence because he suffers from a permanent erection. Maurice Bauman, 32, was sentenced to a year's jail for burgling homes in the British Army garrison town of Blefeld, but he escaped prison after entering a hospital as an emergency case for his unrelenting priapism. After a week's treatment, doctors admitted that they were only able to get his manhood down to half-mast. I hate it when that happens. Bauman told the court, woke up one morning with a hard on. I didn't think anything of it. That happens to men a lot, but mine never went down.
It's more of a Down syndrome thing.
Is that better? I don't know. A medical report revealed that doctors stuck needles in his manhood for 90 minutes.
Oh, there's fine.
Wait. They're trying to...
In an attempt to reduce its size. Because you stick a needle in it, I bet you, you know...
A little prick for a prick. I mean,
it's probably a syringe. Nice, Aaron.
Oh, wow.
It's a fight fire with fire thing.
Oh.
A little prick for a prick.
Wow.
It's
Aaron.
Like fire, come on.
That was like Matt-esque.
Yeah.
God.
Nice, Don.
Damn.
Nice. Words
right,
hurt.
Fine.
5 minutes later, it was erect again. They also injected medication into it, but that didn't help either. A court ruled that he could stay out of jail while his problem persisted, but the chief prosecutor of Blefeld is not happy. Harold Kramholers.
That's such bullshit.
His name
this is
Harold
a stupid.
No, that's not
fake,
how it's been.
Fake.
Kramholer.
Whatever. It's a fake article.
No,
Kramhole is reported this, or Officer Kramhole is talking about. I mean, come on. How stupid are we here? All right, keep going.
Only patients with acute medical problems can stay out of jail, and I don't regard him as an acute case.
Couldn't they just make him watch reruns of the Anna Nicole Smith show or something?
She's hot.
Ew.
Yeah.
Pre or post drug problem.
True.
I got to say, just because this reminds me of this, you know, we're seeing so many of these stars that used to be gorgeous who've now had so much plastic surgery, and you're really starting to see the downside of plastic surgery. I saw
Meg Ryan,
Pamela Anderson on something the other day, and you know, it's just like her face doesn't look right at all.
Yeah.
It's really disturbing because she was a beautiful girl.
One of my weaknesses is this show called Drawn Together, which is a cartoon reality show.
Yeah, mm-hmm. By the way, that's an awful show.
I adore it. I absolutely adore this show. They did an episode where one of the characters, she's the Little Mermaid character. She was cursed so that her vagina is an octopus.
Yes,
right? And it's a monster and attacks people. And she wins the prize of getting to be on Extreme Vaginal Makeover. So they're giving her all this plastic surgery on her vagina.
Oh,
my God.
It's
never quite right, right? And finally, she hits the point where she has had so much plastic surgery, her vagina becomes Joan Rivers. And so through the entire episode, anytime she's on screen, she'll be wandering in the background, like working in the kitchen, and you just hear this voice, like muffled behind a counter going, "What are you wearing? What are you wearing?" It was great.
I saw an episode where...
That is so wrong.
I love the show.
All right, we're like a half hour into this.
All right, go. All right.
Move on.
All right. I have been trolling our forums for news stories. Because we have so many interesting news stories in our forums, I think it's sad that we don't always bring them in. So I'm crediting this one to Smarty Librarian.
She's great, by the way.
And cute.
As all of our listeners are. In their own special way.
But she's she has very insightful feedback.
She totally
thoughts,
does.
So
but she put a link to leftbehindgames.com. Now, this is a new video game company dedicated to creating video games based on the book series Left Behind.
Hmm.
For those of you who are not familiar with the book series Left Behind.
Wait. Is this the one based on the apocalypse?
Why, yes. It is the Christian series of books discussing the rapture.
Yeah,
I have not read them. They're very popular. I have not read them, but I believe apparently what I think happens is all the Christians go up to heaven, and it's about all the people that are damned and left behind.
Yes. It seems like a cool series, actually. I'm
rather embarrassed to admit I'm curious to read it. I've heard it is incredibly poorly written.
Oh, really?
I hear it's really bad writing.
Oh.
But it's like Piers Anthony, good plot ideas, poor execution.
Okay.
Right? So if you're interested in just finding out what happens, it's a good read from what I hear.
Got it.
But this group, Left Behind Games, was founded on October 23rd, 2001, for the purpose of developing video and PC games based upon the world-renowned Left Behind series. Having sold more than 63 million books, Left Behind books have been translated to more than 30 languages. Blah, 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 blah. That's not what I meant to bring up. They are currently on schedule to release their first real-time strategy game in the second half of 2006.
Yikes.
To find out more, click through their website. And I went to their website. I was browsing around looking at the game. And I'm embarrassed to admit, I'm curious.
It's like Archangel Barracks and stuff?
No, it doesn't look like that. It's hard to describe. It looks kind of resource management-y.
I'm sure it'll be at E3. We should check it out at E3.
Interesting. I'm curious. Now, at the last E3 we went to, we got to see Extreme Bible Adventures.
Kilt Warriors. What was that one?
Yes.
Kilt Warriors. Yeah.
There's always one or two Christian video games on the market.
Right.
And so far, they've been an embarrassment to any publisher.
Yeah, Kilt Warriors was not actually a Christian video game.
True. It was like some Roman.
Well, for the most part, they have been poorly executed, poorly conceived, and usually rely on the trivia game format. Like, can you remember this Bible verse?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Which is not fun. Mm-hmm. Right? So this
for
was the first game.
Is.
Trivia games of that nature, you can only go so far with, no matter how much into them you are.
Right.
This was the first one this was the first Christian game I've ever seen that had game design elements.
Hmm. We should check it out.
I'm curious.
E3, we'll put on our list.
I'm not sure I quite understand. Is this, are you conquering territory or is this like...
That's the basis of real-time strategy, but they don't say. So I would recommend, we'll put it up, the link, and go check out their company.
The faithless.
Are they here in LA? Maybe we should interview them.
I would be curious.
I don't know.
Let's look them up. I will try and get in touch with them.
All right. This is going to be my last news story since we're running out of time. But Octavia Butler recently died.
Sad.
She is the...
That was emailed to us by a listener.
Yeah, the first black woman to kind of break into the sci-fi
Not
writing.
Just to break in, to astoundingly break in with... Great work.
Yeah, right. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of black women writing science fiction, but she's the first one to really kind of make a big impact in the science fiction community. So anyway, she died recently, so I figured we should do a shout out to
Octavia Butler.
Thank you for everything you did for our community.
Exactly. Another one. Another sci-fi one.
So there is a there's this rodent that's been thought to be extinct for 11 million years. And these people are wandering through Laos, and they're wandering through a market, and they see this, you know, this rat, or this, not rat.
In a market?
Sort of a rat.
Probably
that's being sold, you know.
Oh,
and they look at it, and they go, I don't really know what this is. So they grab it, and they bring it back, and they find out that it is the 11 million year old species that they thought was extinct.
Wow. And they told them it was fresh.
There you go.
Why don't they find a damn dinosaur?
Well,
I mean, what's the deal? We keep finding all these little weird monkeys and stuff.
I brought in the dinosaur thing with the Loch Ness Monster. That's what I think it is.
Hmm. So anyway, what's kind of cool about this, though, is that it's great scientifically to have something that you didn't know existed and have been speculating what it looked like based on fossils and now have something that you can compare it to.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you a sense of how accurately you've been.
And the fact that this thing hasn't really evolved in 11 million years.
Yeah, you know.
That's deceptive, though. It probably has, just not in the physical ways that you look at, you know. Its immune system has to have evolved, you know.
That's true.
Well, there's only one left. Maybe not.
No, it's actually very common there. It's a, you know.
Hmm. Crazy.
That's really interesting.
Yeah,
that's
cool. I thought it was kind of interesting.
I like that.
All right. Researchers have developed a tricorder for Mars mineral readings.
I can't believe you didn't bring this in, Aaron.
Yes. A University of Arizona researcher is cataloging the spectral fingerprints of all known minerals. Robert Downs is using a Raman spectrometer and now has 1,500 of the 4,000 minerals in his database. A colleague, M. Bonner Denton, is developing a pocket-sized spectrometer that can be used on the 2009 Mars rover to determine the minerals on that planet.
Raman spectrometers are the really cheap ones.
Wait a
you
minute.
Get like 10 of them for a buck.
What are these guys... What are these guys like categorizing as tricorder? Because to me, tricorder means it has to use three different types of sensing mechanisms in order to work. Tricorder, so it's recording.
Okay,
three
pull the insignia out of your butt for a sec.
I mean, you can call anything that
the
scans something a tricorder.
Technology can be used for handheld instruments on Earth. We're developing a tricorder, Down said, referring to the instruments the crew of the Starship Enterprise on Star Trek used to analyze the chemical composition of the planets they visited.
Sounds like a monocorder. Maybe bicorder if they work one another.
Oh my God, I'm getting you a uniform.
You so need a uniform.
It's not really a tricorder because it's only
next time
recording
we go out,
a single source.
The next time we hit one of these conventions where they have cosplay stuff, we are going to chip in and we're going to buy you in a uniform.
I'm not wearing it.
Yes, you are. No. Yes, you
not
are.
Actually, in sort of a link thing, Google has now come up with Google Mars. So
really?
If you want to go to Google Mars, you can check it out.
That's cool.
By the way, just because this is making me think of something, I was reading that they've found people have started to find craters using Google Earth.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. This guy,
new ones.
Yeah, this guy basically read about how someone had found a crater using Google Earth, so he thought he'd just look around his own area. He found two of them.
Yeah.
Two of them in his own area. He's never done this before. He just thought he'd look. Nobody'd ever found it before. It's amazing what people are finding now that, like, this information – this is what's brilliant about what the internet does is that when you have this information out there and it's accessible to anyone who wants to use it
– you can have the manpower to do it.
Yeah, yeah. It's like
people
it's
are analyzing information instead of just it being locked away.
It's the brilliance.
Do you remember this thing? NASA was running a program where you could donate your PC to NASA.
SETI.
SETI.
Yeah,
SETI.
Yeah. I thought that was the best idea.
There's a whole bunch of those now. You can the Genome Project has one of those. You can you can go to a couple of these sites and download different screensavers that allow you to analyze SETI, human genome, all sorts of crazy stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Calculate pi. You can be trying to calculate the next number of pi for some
damn
reason.
It's Apple.
Cool.
Last news story. Isaac Hayes has quit South Park.
No way!
Where he voices Chef, saying he can no longer stomach its take on religion.
Yeah, all of a sudden.
There is a place in this world for satire, but there is a time when satire ends and intolerance and bigotry towards religious beliefs of others begins, the 63-year-old soul singer and outspoken Scientologist said. South Park co-creator Matt Stone responded sharply in an interview with the Associated Press Monday, saying, "This is 100% having to do with his faith of Scientology. He has no problem, and he's cashed plenty of checks with our show making fun of Christians." So it is kind of interesting timing that he should quit the show immediately after that big hullabaloo Scientology episode that they did.
That's a shame.
So, no more Chef.
That's, what are they going to do? Are they going to kill Chef? Oh my God, you killed Chef!
Well, from what I understand, he hasn't even been on for like 2 years. I mean, like, he's hardly on the show anymore.
He's on every time I see it. Every time I see it. I don't really watch it
very often anymore.
Yeah.
The thing kind of wore off for me, I guess.
All right, well, let's move on.
Let's do The Geekies!
All right, well, strangely enough, a year has rolled around and we have now hit a topic that we did last year, our first episode, which was our Geeky Awards. That was our very first episode.
Excellent. First time we ever met.
On radio.
Podcast.
Yeah. Podcast.
Whatever this is.
Blogosphere.
What the hell are we? I have no idea anymore.
All right.
So, explain what Geekies are. Did anybody
The Geekies are our awards for the best movies and TV for the past year, meaning 2005. We are not including anything that was released in January, February, or March of 2006.
Now, also, we're not talking about high art here. We're not talking about, you know.
We're talking about geek
movies.
It's
not the Oscars.
Right. This is geek movies. So,
these are the Geekies.
You know, you're not going to see Pride and the Prejudice here. Yeah. Pride and Prejudice was a great movie.
Pride and the Prejudice?
And
Pride and Prejudice. Okay.
And you are not going to hear everything because we're just
We're not going to discuss gay cowboys or anything, you know.
But we're also just four guys who just couldn't go around and see absolutely everything and watch everything on television. So, you know, you might be screaming at your iPod right now going, "What? Are you out of your mind?
I loved Fantastic Four. What's wrong with you people?"
Oh, shit. That was that was last year.
Yep.
I forgot about that.
To give you a quick review, I'm not going to name all of the movies from last year, but I did write down every geeky movie I could find from last year.
If you do that, this topic will be over.
I'm just gonna spit out some of the ones
and then
that
we'll
people
talk
remember.
About it after.
The very first geek movie of the year that opened up last year was like January 6th with Elektra.
Oh, okay. Thank God.
I know. Everyone forgot about that one. but skipping on through, some of the other things that came out last year. Hide and Seek, Alone in the Dark, Son of the Mask, Robots, Sin City, Kingdom of Heaven, War of the Worlds, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Sky High, Brothers Grimm, Corpse Bride, Wallace and Gromit, Doom, Aeon Flux, Narnia, King Kong. And there's, I mean, just that's the year in review in brief. I've got.
Did you say Batman Begins? Sin City?
I did not. I mean, there are a lot more movies. I'm just kind of giving you a quick overview.
Constantine, Harry Potter.
You said Serenity, right?
Serenity.
I skipped over Serenity. I mean, these are movies we're going to be talking about.
Yes.
I'm just.
All right. So how do we want to do this? Who wants to start this off?
I'd like to find out, first of all, what our geeky is for the worst movie.
I have my top five.
The worst geek movie of last year.
The worst geek movie of last year.
Yep.
I didn't see a lot about it. I just avoided a lot of those ones that you mentioned on there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see Doom. I just forget about it.
Yeah, Doom looked so bad. Didn't it go straight to DVD?
No.
It was out for like a week or two.
Wow.
Probably the worst movie I saw last year was Fantastic Four.
I would agree.
I would agree.
Fantastic Four is the number one bad movie on my list.
I've heard that Aeon Flux is pretty bad.
I would have to say, however,
I didn't see it.
Fantastic Four is not my worst movie. I would have to say Star Wars Episode 3.
That was not as that was better than Fantastic Four.
Star Wars Episode 3 was more disappointing.
Yes.
But it was not
there
worse.
There was at least something to look at on the screen.
Okay.
Yeah, it had some great visual.
I was just so
Fantastic
hurt.
Four, I mean, it was kind of visually You know, if the dialogue was as painful as
Don,
you know.
He does a big four at the end of In Flame.
Okay, let me point
That's
out one like one intrinsic flaw to it. They cast the sexiest woman that they could think of, right? Jessica Alba, who really does nothing for me. And then, you know, her power is to not be there.
Her power is to take off her clothes so she can
does
somehow...
Does it really matter? They could have cast Rosie O'Donnell. It would have been the same, you know?
No, her power was to take off her clothes so she could become invisible and pass through the crowd. Because invisibility means somehow you become...
Intangible.
Intangible. And then, like, that didn't make any
sense.
Of
all the things in that movie, that's the thing you focus on?
Well, that was the only thing she did.
Yeah, that's
well, she we're talking about her right now.
If some naked hot chick moved and rubbed against you,
I wouldn't move out of the
I
way.
Wouldn't move out of the way.
I'd move a little closer. Yeah.
You know, they did the same. They have the same problem with Lord of the Rings. Did the same thing when Boromir was chasing Frodo when he's going mad.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, come here, give me the ring, give me the ring. And he's rolling around on the ground. And then Frodo puts the ring on. He disappears. his hands suddenly go... You know, like on the ground, like he disappears.
Well,
I was like,
I got that one because he sort of
slippery
slipped.
Little
he slipped
hobbit.
Slippery little hobbit.
All right, so because you asked, my worst five movies of 2005. Number one, the worst movie of 2005, Fantastic Four. Number two, Elektra.
Yep.
Just bad writing, poorly executed.
It,
I saw it in theaters. I had high hopes for it. Three on the list, The Island, which was just bored me to tears. It was the most predictable movie of the year. Number four on the list, Star Wars Episode II. Sorry, just... I wanted to like it. I actually tried very hard to
episode
get into
three.
It.
Episode 3.
Episode 3, excuse me. And number five, worst movie of 2005, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
That was pretty bad, I gotta say.
Which, however, I have to put a disclaimer on this one. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is also number five on my top five movies of last year.
I liked it.
You mean it? The gap's that short?
No, it's just it was.
There's only 10 movies on
the
radar.
Simultaneously, there were things about it I really liked. Visually, it was a very interesting movie. Mm-hmm. In and of itself, it was a very interesting movie. It was a little soulless. There was no real life to it. I didn't feel for any of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
But despite that, it was quirky and interesting.
It was the book.
Can I put something on my list that crosses into the television genre as well? It was a television movie.
Sure.
The Dungeons and Dragons movie was unbearable.
Oh, you rented this?
I saw it on... I watched it
I
on
have it
Sci-Fi
on DVD
channel.
At my apartment right now. I'm trying to find the willpower
it's
to watch
painful.
It.
I heard it's pretty bad.
It's painful.
Was Alien vs. Predator last year?
I think it was here before.
Yeah.
You know,
it's taken me a long time.
I want to throw out this idea that last year was actually a very good year for movies, just not for geek movies. Okay? There were actually some really good movies. Good Night and Good Luck, you know.
Yeah.
Great movie.
The problem
I'm going to put a caveat on that, though. They were technically good movies, and they were intelligent movies, but they were generally on subject matter that, by and large, people are not attracted to.
I also thought they were interesting movies, but not filled with passion or drama.
I thought last
year's... Oh, I think you're completely wrong. You know, this.
I didn't see a lot of the
Brokeback Mountain.
I didn't see that. So
you didn't see it.
But anyway,
Pride and Prejudice was great. You know,
right, we're not talking about those. We're talking about geek movies.
Yeah, no, I'm just. What I'm saying is that there were a lot of great movies that came out last year, but they were not geek movies.
See, I disagree. I think there were tons of geek movies that had potential to be great, and there was something in the follow through swing that did not come through.
When I was making up my list,
I disagree. I think that. You know, very few movies were interesting in any way.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy could have been great, but was not. Star Wars Episode III could have been great.
No,
but
Star
was
Wars
not.
Episode III couldn't
honestly,
have been great after the first
together
two. There's no
my
way.
Worst of last list of last year
was a lot easier than putting together your best. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it was. But that said, it was kind of hard because there weren't many. Horrifically bad movies as there were forgettable movies.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it was just a whole lot of blah
that's
last
what I'm saying.
Year.
The follow through could have been. You know,
this is where I was headed with my point. My point was going to be there were a lot of great movies that came up, but they were small, you know, not geek movies. Okay, and because of that, because let's all be honest here. The movies that tend to do really well in the box office are geek movies. Lord of the Rings,
was a geek movie. They didn't have any. Lord of the Rings was a geek movie.
Yeah,
I understand. Went down to go see that movie, and people were dressed as elves.
Okay, so there's one example that a geek movie is a blockbuster.
The Matrix was a geek movie.
Yeah, every major sci-fi movie is usually a blockbuster.
Every major sci-fi movie is, you know, I mean, comic book movies are geek movies, okay? They do really well.
Yeah.
Okay? But, you know, we didn't have...
I agree with him on this one, 100%.
So would you say then horror movies are geek movies?
I would say they are peripheral. They're like an offshoot of geek movies.
Yeah, I would say they're geek.
You know, like, I wrote down House of Wax on the list of geek movies of the year.
But anyway, what my point was going to be is that I think in some ways we've actually been spoiled, okay? Because we've had 3 years of Lord of the Rings, okay? Mm-hmm. Where it came out, we had one every year. I would say in some ways we've been spoiled because we've had 3 years of Lord of the Rings. One coming out every year.
Right.
And these have been really, I mean, they've been fantastic.
Well, and even aside from Lord of the Rings, we've had a good stretch
of
geek movies.
Right, but even then we had a great, you know, he could have done really great with King Kong, but it was too long.
Well, yeah, let me actually stop. I don't think King Kong was ever going to be... I don't think King Kong was ever going to be that great. Okay.
Yeah.
Because King Kong is a story that we know too well. I mean, we just know what it is. I don't think it was ever going to be...
Yeah, but we know every superhero story that well in the entire world, and we're doing Superman again.
I think they're reinventing that. I don't think they reinvented King Kong enough.
I actually disagree with you a little bit on that one, because the Superman they do now has to be different from the one they did in the 70s.
Right, but this King Kong was completely different. Fay Wray was not, you know, was completely vulnerable. It was all about the guy saving her. This movie was about her relationship to the ape, which was completely different from the original thing. It was about her and the ape. That's it.
Yeah, but
the guy was peripheral.
People know enough about it to not feel like, I mean, to feel like they're just seeing they feel like they're seeing a remake of something.
I see what you're saying,
Superman
but
flies.
It didn't feel like
it's
a different movie to me. I see what you're
King
saying.
King Kong was just a poorly written movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been good, but
that's
it was just poorly written.
It could have been great.
It was a special effects movie, I think.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
That
it was,
happened to, by luck, get backed up by a really decent actress. I thought she did an excellent job.
I thought
in
she
the
did,
movie.
An, especially when you consider the fact that she was acting that entire movie with a green screen.
No, Andy Serkis was on set.
Oh God, here we go.
What? He's standing up on top of something, going ook ook ook.
Yes.
Here, don't even get me started on this Andy Serkis thing.
Yeah, Aaron doesn't believe that Andy Serkis is actually a value to the film.
No, that is different what I'm saying. I think he is a valuable to the film.
So you think that he's actually performing?
No, I do.
You think
I
he's
do.
Lending a performance?
Yeah,
to you?
No, I totally do. I totally believe in all that. What I don't believe is that he was the reason why Gollum was so awesome. The reason why Gollum was so awesome is because about 100 awesome animators and kick-ass special effect artists did something that no one has ever been able to do before. We've had Jar Jar Binks and guys in costumes there and all this type of stuff, but really, the rock star, the absolute rock star of Gollum is that crew. Yes, they used Andy as...
But what they were basing it on was they used the Disney trick very specifically. Was Disney used to film their actors as they were doing the voiceover, and they use the facial gestures and like
do
that. Jar Jar Binks did not do that.
Trust me, they've been doing this for years. I do this all the time. They've been copying elephants. They've been copying humans. They've been doing that for years. It's not the first time anyone ever thought of looking at a human.
But they looked at him and they took his performance, and his performance was good enough.
So
to
he
be
was.
Adapted.
He's been so.
Hold
busy.
On, hold on. It was my understanding they literally translated his performance.
Yes, they did. They did act. Absolutely.
I understand that, but. And that is one of the reasons. But the reason why they could translate the performance is because these guys are rock stars.
Well, hold on. Actually, that's like saying that Ang Lee is responsible for... Well, he is, but that's a bad example. That's like saying the cameraman is responsible for the performances in Brokeback Mountain.
No, that's not...
They're making a performance possible.
Wait, let's stop for a second, because I think you're both actually right. I think the problem is that we're saying it's either or. I mean, the reality is that Andy Serkis did a fantastic job.
Yeah.
When you put Andy Serkis' performance next to the performance of Gollum, it's the identical performance.
Okay,
so
I totally agree with that.
He's bringing acting
right.
to the special effects.
Right.
Okay. And
obviously.
At the same time... I mean, because what we're really applauding here is we're applauding the fact that they were able to seamlessly match the acting with the special effects so perfectly that this character came to life in ways that other animated characters
and it was a good character.
Computer animated characters have never done before.
Right.
So they're both great.
Right. And trust me, I think that his performance was great. I just don't want to hear it. Every time a special effects people go up and receive their award, they have to thank mother effing Andy Serkis.
Well, maybe they're if they're doing it, maybe they're doing it for a reason.
You know, I got to say,
I think it's peer pressure.
Aaron, they're in a better place to judge than you are. They're not getting up and going, who the hell is everybody? Why does everybody care about Andy Serkis? He's an at you.
They don't have to mention his name first.
Okay, so we've discussed some of the problem movies of last year.
Anyway,
let's move into the good stuff.
All right, best screenplay. Best writing in a geek movie last year.
I'm going to say Serenity. I actually laughed because of the dialogue.
Okay.
I think the story was okay. It's fine. You know, nothing new there. It was an adventure. But I actually, not knowing anything about the television series, really, I saw an episode. I actually got really into those characters because of the dialogue.
I'm going to have to agree. It's that had the strongest writing of the geek movies last year.
For me, it was Sin City. Sin City.
Basically, I love the Frank Miller comic.
Well, mm-hmm. I'd say that would probably be our best adaptation. That's not an original screenplay. Those were stories lifted directly from comic books.
Right, but that still makes it a screenplay.
Yeah,
I mean, he had to turn it into a screenplay.
Yeah, but it's still an adaptation.
But you thought
I mean, let's actually pause because I think that Matt's actually making a very good point here. It's not an adaptation because they didn't adapt anything. It's word for word.
And shot for shot.
And shot for shot.
That's true.
So, in fact, it is up for grabs in terms of this because no one adapted it. It's just what it was.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right. So, you thought that had the strongest writing.
I thought that had the strongest writing because it had much more distinct and different characters in a much different aspect than I think anything else that I saw last year.
Mm. Okay. I was bored.
I see what you're saying, but yeah, I felt some of it was a little long, and the characters were a little repetitive to me.
I loved Hardigan. I loved the Mickey Rourke character. I'd watch that movie again purely for that.
I thought that was great, but then I was like, okay, let's move on. Some of the other stories are like, come on.
I love film noir too. So
I just have to pause and say the girl with the eyes, the one that, you know, where her eyes were actually in color.
She's on Gilmore Girls.
Smoking hot.
She's on Gilmore Girls.
I don't watch Gilmore Girls.
Tune in.
Maybe I will now.
You should.
Do you have a pick at all for this?
You know, actually, I think you're both making a really good point in terms of good stuff. I kind of go towards Serenity. I mean, I think Serenity is really well written.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, as much as I love Joss Whedon, I don't think that the script was the all-time best thing I've seen, you know, in years, but I thought it was really good. And the thing that I really appreciate was that he was willing to kill off characters so that you never knew, you didn't feel safe in the movie. You didn't know who was going to make it and who wasn't. And that was really a very wise choice.
That's a Joss Whedon standpoint. You know.
Well, actually, Joss Whedon is incapable of ending any series without offing at least two major characters.
Yeah. He loves it.
Great.
Yeah,
that's good. I love that type of stuff. Did anyone see Wallace and Gromit? Because I hear that was awesome.
I saw that. It is wonderful.
Yeah, I heard it was good.
I'm crushed that I missed it.
I just bought it.
I actually have two categories here. The movies I most wish I'd caught, Mirror Mask and Wallace and Gromit.
Hmm. Wallace and Gromit, because they spend so much time in the detail, because they spend so much time just focused on literally moving it a frame at a second, 24 frames, the detail of what they do, especially in a feature-length picture, is incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, just down to the eyeballs are so amazing in that film.
Well, not just that.
They don't waste anything.
The writing in it is
what I heard.
And it's tight.
I mean, it is, you know, it is very clever. You don't know what, you don't see it coming. You know, it's a great movie. And actually, it's probably one of those movies that a lot of people out there will not choose to see because it's not the first thing you think. Let's go see Wallace and Gromit. It looks like it's a kid's movie. If you just listen to me out there.
It didn't do as well in the American box office as it could have.
Yeah, well, if you just listen to me. If you have not seen this movie, go out and see it. I don't care if you're an adult. I don't, you know, it's a great movie. I adore this movie.
Yeah.
So.
What about special effects? Did you guys have a favorite special effect movie? I think this is not one of my favorite movies, but I thought War of the Worlds had some spectacular special effects. And you know what?
You canned that movie so bad I didn't go see it.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a great movie.
You ranted about it so badly.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you were like, I could have made this, and it,
yeah,
I never
I was
felt
really,
danger. You were angry.
I was let down. I really thought it was good. But let me tell you, the sound effects and the visuals in there were awesome. They really were amazing. And the end, and, you know,
it's a Spielberg.
King Kong had some awesome stuff,
yeah.
Especially the
King
when he was
Kong.
On the building.
Can't ignore it.
Brilliant.
Can't ignore it.
Yeah, on the building with the airplanes, I was like, wow, that was really amazing looking. But, you know.
The one I'd have to give the award to, though, for me,
mm-hmm.
it's not because it had the best,
you
most
say
realistic.
Narnia, I'll kill you.
It's not because it had the most realistic special effects.
Yeah.
It's not because they blew me away the most. It's because they approached the special effects with a elegant, direct sense of humor that worked perfectly with the movie, and that movie for me would be Kung Fu Hustle.
Oh,
yes, that was actually that was a fun, great movie.
The special effects in there were perfect.
Were so cool.
Yeah.
They were not stunning, but they were just right for the movie. Okay. You know.
Now, just for people who have not seen that movie, okay, long-term listeners will know that when we came back from that movie, we talked about it for the longest time. We adored that movie. That's another really
great
movie.
Kung Fu Hustle is a great film.
It's no Shaolin Soccer.
Shaolin Soccer is great, too. Kung Fu Hustle is awesome, too.
Yeah.
Two great movies.
Love them. What do you think the geekiest movie of last year was?
The geekiest movie?
The absolute geekiest movie. For me, it was Star Wars, purely because it's just such a standalone, you know, it is sort of the geek Oscar in and of itself. Like, if an Oscar was shaped like a geek, it would be
like
a lightsaber.
I would say it would probably be like Doom or Star Wars or...
Narnia.
Batman Begins.
Hmm.
Batman Begins was a total comic book wet dream movie.
Yeah.
It's, you know, got the, you know, Batman training sequence with the swords and like the, you know, Kung Fu master BS and all that. It's like, you know, it's made for comic book guys getting really revved up. You know, it's like I could just hear the juices flow out of the comic book nerds sitting next to me. It was just like crazy. And to me, I could see like the girlfriends, like, you know, like groaning in the movie theater.
Yeah, while I thought Christian Bale was hot.
Fell asleep on my lap during that movie.
I think I have to actually spit out Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire on that one.
Okay.
It's
the geekiest?
Yeah, it's the whole, like, swooning teenage girls and...
It's bringing up another generation of that.
It's the Star Wars thing. It's the Luke and Han. It's the Princess Leia thing. It's everyone's focusing on Harry Potter the same way people used to on Star Wars.
Yep. That's their Star Wars.
You know?
Interesting. Well, do we want to move to
best geek film?
Best geek film? And then we'll do best geek television?
Yep.
I've got my top five.
All right. I have top two.
I'll go with the top five then. Number five, as I discussed earlier, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Number four.
Wait. What was the thing that you liked about Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? Because we didn't get to that.
I thought it was such a direct adaptation of the book, other than the weird Charlie plot line of
I disagree with that history. I felt there was a certain sweetness to the book that the Tim Burton version completely missed.
Well, he loves creepy.
And I think it was the thing that I did like about it was the creepy. Like, as long as you disregard the book, as long as you disregard the earlier version, and you're just kind of going on a tweaked, like, Never Neverland Ranch type experience, there was something really attractive about that movie that kind of pulled me in.
I got to tell you, I watched it on DVD. Mm-hmm. I fast forwarded through every musical sequence. I couldn't do it. I was like, oh my god, you know, kill me now.
Fair enough.
I liked it.
Number four, Kung Fu Hustle.
Brilliant.
The movie, I felt it got ignored by everything this year, and, you know, the sales were okay, but it was such a good movie.
Actually, I had a best foreign geek film last year, and that was not it, but it was still good. There's one, if you haven't heard about it, it's a foreign film called Twilight Samurai. Mm-hmm. And it's a Japanese film, it's in black and white, and it's an amazing geek film, and it's just a cool ass samurai flick.
Nice, I'll check it out. Number three for me, King Kong.
You know, yeah, I'd put it around there.
It was a very impressive movie. It was very, you know, real spectacle to it. It was good, but it didn't pull me into the story as much as I would have liked to have.
My number three was probably Batman Begins.
I got to throw out that here's my only problem with King Kong. Okay, I think in 3 years, King Kong will be one of those things that you see on the shelves. You go, oh, yeah, I remember that. But you'll only remember it when you see it on the shelves. there are other movies that, you know, have true greatness to them. But let's wait.
I'd say like Jurassic Park overshadows it. It's same type of movie, you know, but Jurassic Park has so much more human interest elements going on.
It's because it's a new big monster cachet. And the thing about King Kong that bothered me was not that, because I really like the interaction between her and Kong. My problem was Jack Black's character, because Jack Black's character is the poetry of King Kong. He's supposed to be this mercenary guy, but he's also supposed to be the poetry. He's supposed to say at the end, you know, it was beauty that killed the beast.
That was so tagged on.
And it was
in this.
Tagged on, and so much like, I mean, when the guy says,
"'Twas
it in the,
beauty that killed the beast,"
when it's said in the black and white film, you're like, oh,
even the 80s
right.
version. Even the 80s version, I remember thinking, like, wow.
But that's what made it great in the old versions.
Yeah.
You know, was that you had this deep, resonant, you know.
Yeah, and there was
remember
this poetry
the 80s
that was missing.
The ape was really freaking huge.
Yeah.
That thing was huge in the 80s.
Yeah.
He was monstrous.
Right. So finish your last two.
Number two for me, Batman Begins. Very strong movie. I wasn't expecting as much as it was.
Right.
You know, I didn't dare get my hopes up.
I thought Bale was a great Batman.
Yeah, I thought it was honestly some of the best performances turned in any of the geek movies this year, and better writing than any other superhero movie this year.
Yeah. I think Michael Caine is actually the best butler today. He's the best.
Yeah.
Oh,
where
I'd just
are
say
you,
he's
Spider-Man 3?
I also have to say
next year.
I also have to say that Batman Begins gets a special award from me because it's a franchise that was saved. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a franchise that had been going downhill, and
I don't even feel it's connected to the other movies at all.
You know,
I mean,
it doesn't matter. Thank God.
It doesn't matter. It's the same franchise.
We'll
see
whether or not they do
movies.
That with the Superman film.
Thank God. And let's be honest. Number 3 and 4, the movies were not connected to number 1 and 2. I mean, they really weren't. They were entirely different tones. You know?
Did you see the George Clooney interview?
I resented those movies so much.
Me too.
Did you see the George Clooney interview? He said, I was with Robin. I had nipples on my costume. I made Batman gay.
All right, so number one.
Are there any other number twos out there?
Yeah, actually.
Well, I'll give mine a second.
Let me put mine up to at least number two because I liked King Kong. I would put Sky High probably ahead of King Kong. I went there not knowing a single thing about it. And to me, I was like, oh, God, this kid's movie. And I had a blast with it. I thought it was really well written.
I agree. Sky High was a lot of fun. I recommend it as a Netflix thing for both of you.
This is great because now I've got something to see.
For no other reason, I got to share that this moment. For me, there's this one moment in a movie that I always want. Right, it's the moment where the throwaway character does something so amazing, so spectacular, and so dramatic. And in this one, there's a little plant character who she's poison ivy. She doesn't do anything worthwhile in the entire movie. And then there's this one moment where she just cuts loose on a bad guy, and it's just one of those classic good kicking evil's ass moments, you know?
Yeah. I really thought War of the Worlds, I mean, the spectacle of it was just worth watching.
I got to rent War of the Worlds now.
I wish you had the chance to see it with the surround sound. I didn't know you didn't go see it in the theaters.
I didn't.
The
sound for that is really, I think the sound in that movie is probably one of the best from last year.
Oh, yeah.
I'll come on.
Yeah, bring it over
every
here.
Every time
we'll
the freaking foghorn goes off, I was like,
Yeah, well, wait until like Maureen leaves and we'll crank it.
Okay,
here.
Cool.
and Batman Begins was okay. I mean, I thought it was kind of a silly. I haven't liked a Batman yet, so, you know, whatever. Sin City, I thought looked amazing.
Yes.
I mean, it was amazing, and some of those short stories were a complete blast. It was too long, so I kind of went I really got let down this year on the geeky movies, which is kind of a drag. And what was the one, the other comic book one, History of Violence?
Oh.
I actually liked better as far as, you know, enjoying the whole thing.
Okay.
So that brings me up to kind of my
number two.
Since you did that, I'll also jump in. I actually have History of Violence as my number five. You know, I thought it's not a perfect movie. It's got, you know, it's not a perfect movie, but it's an interesting movie, and it's well written. It's very interesting. Then I have Wallace and Gromit as my number four. It's got a lot of charm. It's really a beautiful movie. Sin City number three. Mm. I think that Sin City. See, here's the thing. You guys are mentioning, you know, like War of the Worlds, King Kong. You know, for me, Sin City has something truly special. It's a unique movie. It's something I will remember for a long
time. For a long time.
And I got to tell you, King Kong, I'm going to forget. War of the Worlds, I'm going to forget. I'm going to be talking about them like, you know, whatever. I'm never going to want to see them again. You know?
Sin City, they created some new stuff.
Brilliant. And then number two is also Batman Begins.
Yeah, my number three and number two are definitely Batman Begins, number three, Sin City, number two.
All right.
Number one.
Number one.
I'm curious if we're unanimous on this.
I'm fairly certain that we are. All right. Let's stop. Does it begin with S and end with Y?
Why, yes.
Why, yes, it does. Aaron.
Oh.
Yeah, I really felt like we haven't had a good space opera in a long time.
Yeah.
And when you think space opera, you automatically just think cheese, really. It's really hard to get out of the stigma of, you know, the Star Wars shadow, which in itself now is cheesy. But Serenity busted out with great special effects.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
The characters were really fun. I actually really wanted them to talk more and do less action because everything they said I thought was really funny. And
he would have if he had another few years.
Yeah. The thing is, though, first off, now some of our longer-term listeners know that Lisa Lasik, who's occasionally on the show, was the editor for Serenity. So, first off, let's just say we are not sucking up to Lisa.
Yes, we are.
The movie was genuinely the best movie of this past year, in my opinion.
Yeah.
However, that said, I don't think the competition was very fierce.
No.
I don't think it was. I was really disappointed.
It's not
this
a Bridge
year.
On the River Kwai or Gone with the Wind year. It's much more of a...
Yeah. I mean, this one definitely stood out as an amazing movie, but I'm not sure how it would have compared up against
Lord of the Rings.
It wouldn't have been first place. You know? Yeah. But that said,
it's a great film.
It's a great film.
It is a great film.
And I have one complaint about the Serenity movie, and it's actually more about his world. It's that everybody speaks Chinese, but there's nobody Chinese in the damn film.
I agree. That is silly.
It flies me crazy.
And as
these two world cultures came up so much that everyone speaks Chinese except the Chinese.
So
it is bizarre. I have to say it is bizarre.
Let me throw out that that one of the things we've talked about is there were no Fantastic Geek movies this year, and the Fantastic Geek movies are the ones that make money. And
I actually thought Serenity was fantastic. I really enjoyed it.
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm not talking about
the as a year, you mean.
I'm talking about, like, you know, in general, the movies were forgettable. Yeah. Like, Serenity was a fantastic film, but, like, we just didn't have consistent big hits.
There were movies that were made up, that were hyped, and just fell flat. Son of the Mask. Just big miss.
That
but
could have been
hyped.
A good movie.
Land of the Dead.
Not Son of the Mask, but if they had just done a Mask 2, it could have been great.
Easy movie to see. I mean, the first one was great. Just kind of leave it alone.
Land of the Dead. You know, highly anticipated. It wasn't a bad movie. It just
What about Rob Zombie's whatever?
Devil's Rejects.
Yeah.
It's on my list.
I forgot about
it's there.
Piece of crap.
The Island, highly hyped. Very disappointing.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Brothers Grimm. Yeah. Another one that just kind of fell flat.
Brothers could have been great.
I got to say, that one had, to add to your list, Brothers Grimm definitely had great potential. The script had problems.
Yeah, but everybody whiffed on the script. Everybody whiffed on the script. Hitchhikers whiffed on the script. Yeah. Brothers Grimm whiffed on the script.
Constantine is another one I want to throw in there.
Oh, was that? That wasn't this
that
year.
That was year before last.
Which I just saw like a couple days ago. But yeah, I think it was 2 years ago.
You know, a couple that just kind of went away unexpectedly. Aeon Flux went away. Legend of Zorro went
away. I don't think they could have done Aeon Flux unless they did something like Sin City, though.
No. Dominion the Exorcist. Whoosh, gone. You know?
Yeah.
But before we close this, I want to get to our television, too.
Okay.
It's not going to be a big conversation because really there's not a lot out there for us, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Number two?
But Beauty.
Lost. Number one, Battlestar. Yeah. Done.
Yeah, I think. But I. Okay, here's the ones. I'll just put the ones that I'm still watching, and I think this will obviously be. Those are the ones in my top five at least because I'm watching them. I would put Beauty and the Geek up there.
Really?
I saw the first episode to report to you guys and expecting to hate it. Like, you know, I watched it to hate it, right? It sounds absurd and stupid. I think I saw the whole season. I may have lost I didn't get the last episode or something like that, but I thought it was fun.
Did you enjoy it? Did the Geeks ever score?
Yeah, one of them scored.
With one of the...
Yeah. Totally. It was bizarre, but yeah.
I'd watch for that alone.
But it wasn't mean... it wasn't a dating show. It was something different than that, and I was surprised. I thought it was going to be like, you know, trying to hook these two bizarre, you know, cultures up, and it wasn't. I'm still watching Smallville. I think this year they've pulled out of the severe, crazy misdirection they had the year before.
Episode four of fourth season?
I have no idea what season they're in. But the last season was messed up, and they've now pulled it out of the tailspin. They've now, especially, they've killed off the
Tell me. No.
I'm sorry, but if you're not going to watch it for 5 years, your spoiler alert's gone.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Damn it.
We can't discuss.
I already knew about
that. Go on. So they killed off the father.
They're progressing the
storyline.
Lex Luthor now is becoming the bad guy. They're moving it forward now.
Okay.
They've decided that they may have decided that the show's almost over and they can just do it. It's time to progress it. They're doing it, and so I'm back on track.
Nice.
Lost, great. Battlestar, great. Remember, Enterprise was still going on this year in 2005.
It still sucked then, too.
And even at the very end, when they tried to do their new format, which is the three-episode miniseries.
The last few episodes I thought were actually pretty entertaining.
Actually, I still couldn't do it.
Nope. Sorry.
The whole Data one, I was like, come on.
Sorry.
I liked them.
So, yeah.
I had a few other ones. Best anime of last year I thought was Howl's Moving Castle. I love Miyazaki. It was fantastic.
Are we sliding back into movies?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Does anyone else want to do television?
I just had a few last little hits.
Anybody else want to do television, though, before we close it out?
No. Okay. No, there wasn't much.
Okay. You hit it.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, there are a few other shows that need to be mentioned in the past year.
Manskeeper.
We had Surface launch, which is developing they're pulling teeth trying to get that series going.
Right.
You know, they're showing it on three different networks right now, if I remember right.
Is it supposed to be good or bad?
Sci-Fi Channel. I'm hearing good things about it.
Surface
is the only one that's getting, like, good word of mouth.
I thought Eris liked Invasion.
Start watching.
Eris watches those. We should get him in here to give us a report because he's
Invasion
watching.
Also seems to be getting a little bit of a following, although it's much
they're
more
fish.
Meager. And they're not bad. No, that's Surface.
Oh.
No. Invasion is also fish.
They're both fish?
Invasion is glowing fish in the water
Oh,
God.
That eat people. And then I'm
clone
not sure what happens after.
They take over their bodies.
They take over the bodies or clone them.
I saw the first episode of Invasion, and it just didn't catch me.
Yeah, same.
I watched like three of them. I was like, come on.
There was a third one. I can't remember.
Threshold. Gone. It's gone.
Triangle got a whole lot of publicity, and then
4400 was in 2005.
4400 is still going.
Oh, okay.
As far as I know, but that's on it's like on TBS or something.
Some people love that. I haven't seen it, but some people love it.
Dead Zone is still going, if I recall correctly.
Oh, shoot.
And that one gets really strong word of mouth.
I saw the first season. I loved the first season, but then after that, I just decided it was done.
Yeah,
like I didn't want to see him solve more.
You know, there is sci-fi out there. It's just, it doesn't seem to be cutting the mustard for a lot of
all
people.
All the Stargates.
Ugh.
You know, there's something kind of, you know, resonant about it. There is sci-fi out there.
It's nice, Don.
You
the
just
lost
have to find tribes. It.
Yeah, the problem
Search.
Is, most of it isn't swimming for. Like, 4400, I saw the first season, and I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it showed promise.
But you didn't
it felt
stick
like
with
the. It? Well, the. I. Don't know when the heck it's on actual TV, so I was just waiting for the second season to come out on DVD.
Oh, I see.
Which is what I tend to do with most TV series now.
Mm.
Like, Lost and Battlestar are the only two I actually try and catch.
All right. Well, I got a final just little hit, which was Best Actor in a Geek Role.
Best Actor in a geek role.
Okay. I don't know if we can continue this year to year, but I thought it was Steve Carell in the 40-year-old version.
Oh, I thought he was terrible. I didn't think he understood a geek at all.
I thought he was hilarious.
There were a fair number of people playing geek roles last year in movies.
Yes.
There was the one by Adam Sandler that he wasn't in, I don't think. He was playing the world's oldest beta tester.
Oh, I don't think that's out yet.
Really? I thought that was already released and gone.
Don't know. No, I don't.
I could be wrong. I could be completely wrong.
Okay, we'll see.
Yeah, you guys had made.
Yeah,
you guys gave me an idea when you were talking about Son of the Mask and what they should have done with that series. Just because it came to my mind, they should have taken another great comic like Jack Black and the mask goes to him. You know, like reinvented someone.
Well, they gave it to Jamie Kennedy, and they thought that was going
to
be it.
It would have to be a
No. Sorry, I said great comic.
I think they just need to leave it alone.
I think they should have hired Carrot Top. You know?
No, no. They need a. They need.
He's yoked now. Listen. Have you seen him?
No.
He's like 200 pounds and built like a brick shit house.
That's just wrong.
It's frightening.
Steroids.
No, they he need, like looks like he's been on steroids.
They needed to give it to a great physical comedian. That's what you needed for that role. And you know,
I don't think Jack Black is a great physical comedian.
He's a decent physical comedian.
All right,
really?
All right.
But what he's doing. He's the best person I can think of that's after, you know.
I can't think of any physical like Jim Carrey is the only physical comic I can think of.
I don't know.
Robin Williams.
Robin Williams was able to pull that off too.
Okay. Okay. All right, so Steve, enough of carrot top. Jesus.
Wrap this up, I guess.
God.
Right?
Do you guys have any? I have a link. Actually, I've mentioned it before, but I want to mention it again.
Did you guys do your bits?
Oh shoot!
What bits?
Yeah, I didn't do bits.
No,
no.
Mm-mm.
Read your emails, you bastards.
We'll stay. I knew. I just didn't do it.
I was in Vegas.
The limericks.
Vegas, baby.
So we'll do them next time.
Yes.
So save yours. It means you don't have to do homework.
Oh,
but
God,
I do have a link. It's a podcast that a lot of our listeners are listening to, but some of them are not and want to spread the word. I think actually they might even listen to our show. I've mentioned them before, but they are still going on and they're doing great stuff. This is called the Dragon's Landing Podcast. These are two guys, Lonnie and Chuck, who do a podcast about role playing. And they do their homework big time. Every episode, they've got a list of all these websites and books they have found to help you with your role-playing,
nice.
Game mastering and playing, random name generators for science fiction, orcs, elves, special places where you can get artwork for your characters, random dungeon creators, all sorts of great things, and they're trying to get their own role-playing game started from scratch that is open source for anybody to
that's great.
Build on and write on.
That's great.
Fun. So if you want to check that out, go to Dragon's Landing pod, dragonslanding.com. You can listen to their podcast. Even if you don't want to listen to the podcast, go through all the links and just click on them. There's all sorts of great stuff. They're really fun to listen to. They have a special podcast just for the role-playing game they're developing. And if you want to help develop it, they're asking for writers and people to construct cool. this game and make world books for them.
Excellent.
So anyway, check that out.
Right. I want to mention two of the links that we put up last week just because they're so good. We've got the Spore promo up there for the game Spore, which is going to come out at some point. And, actually, it's coming out at the end of this year. And if you have not seen this promo, it's so good. You guys talked about it last week. It's a demonstration. It's a demonstration of what it's going to be like. You guys talked about it last week, and I just didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. And then I watched it. And from, like, the first moment I started watching it, it's a 30-minute long thing. I was like, I've been showing everybody this.
Yeah.
It's so good. And then we've got another link to a little game that's so addictive and fun.
Blobs.
Blobs. Oh, it's so much fun.
Yeah. My gift to you.
Yeah.
I have a couple of them. One is how to build a glowing throne out of 4,000 AOL CDs.
Finally, something to do with...
Something to do with your stupid AOL CDs. Check them out. You can build a glowing throne out of it, and it teaches you how to do it. It's really funny. And the other one is the best comic book on copyright that they've ever seen. It's basically somebody has created a new comic book. I believe it's called Bound by Law, and it's a comic book which tells you the ins and outs of copyright law.
That sounds really exciting.
You can check it, and it'll teach you all you wanted to know about copyright law in comic book form.
Interesting.
I have a comic book form of a quantum physics book. It teaches you quantum physics in comic book form. Trust me, you need pictures when you're talking about quantum physics.
Okay, so if you're sitting at home right now and you want to check out these links, you got to go right now, geekson.com. That's where they are.
Yeah, www.geekson.com. Also, go to our
can
forums.
Can I put up my links?
Yeah, you were done. You were snoring, so we assumed you were asleep, okay?
Well, you know, freaking comic books about copyright law might tend to do that to people.
It's exciting.
I'm sure.
Thanks, Don.
I have a link that Peter was the first one to send around. I figured you'd put it up there. We have a link to a live-action Simpsons opening. That some people filmed.
That was funny as hell.
That is just genius. If you haven't seen it, it's all over the web right now. It's one of those viral Oh, you've got to see this.
You've seen it.
Funny. It's a live action Simpsons opening that a group of people put together in England. Mm-hmm. And it's as precise as they could get it. It's really impressive.
Huh. In fact...
And it took them 18 months to do.
Wow. Some of it looks so good. Like, when it first started, I was like, I was wondering if it was for a movie.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it looks that good.
That's what Kat said. She said, are they going to make a live-action movie? And I went, no, it's just the trailer. Oh. Good.
The other one I'm putting up there is www.thenumbers.com. Which is something that we were thinking about earlier today. It's a listing of all the movies that have come out, the budgets, the income in the United States, and the income overseas.
It's funny. Oh, that's exactly cool. What I was looking for.
You can also get that at imdb.com. I'm not sure if you need...
But you have to pay for
I'm not sure if you need the pro member...
You do need the pro.
You do? Okay, never mind. Yeah.
And this one's free. And,
don't pay.
They stay right up there that they can't necessarily stand by their figures, but it's fairly accurate as far as I can tell.
Excellent.
Cool. They just make them up.
Yeah, they're like,
well, King Kong made like 14 million?
Yeah.
According to them, for example, like Serenity lost like $1 million.
Oh. Yeah, Joss Whedon's got that.
Well, they haven't hit DVDs
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, they haven't hit DVD sales. Yeah. All right. We done?
That's it for me.
Rocked it out.
Excellent. So check out our website. Go to our forums. Email us. It's all at the website, www.geekson.com.
Have a
go
great geek week.
Exactly. Bye.
Bye. Rock it out.